The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected elders, brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The journey that we began more than 2 weeks ago is more than halfway over. We're told that the month of Ramadan is an invitation from Allah to participate in the divine banquet. And you know how in your life, when you've been invited somewhere where you really enjoy the company of the people around you, you really feel that you're taken care of, you really cherish the experience. When you start thinking about leaving, it's a sad type of feeling that you have. But alhamdulillah that we still have a great opportunity ahead of us. It's a good time for us to pause and to do a mid-month reflection. How is it that our servitude has been during this month? What is the quality of our relationship with Allah? We definitely had some goals and aspirations at the beginning of the month. How are we tracking towards those? Are we moving in the direction that we'd like to? Have we arranged our habits and have we put things into place to be able to achieve what we want? And the important thing, brothers and sisters, is not to despair. If you look at the sunnah of Allah when it comes to growth, it's one of gradual. The human body, for example, grows, but it does so in a gradual way. And over time, years, then you see, for example, a child grow taller and taller. Sometimes maybe somebody has a year's worth of a spiritual journey in one night, and it can happen. Even a lifetime of a spiritual journey in one night, it can happen. But for others, it may be the case that the growth is something which is gradual. But the important thing is not to despair and to have hope in the mercy of Allah. We are told in numerous traditions, sumu tasihu, fast so that you may be healthy, that you may maintain your healthiness. Now, we fast for spiritual reasons, for controlling of our desire, for gaining taqwa, for, you know, suffering and being able to appreciate the suffering of others, and many other reasons. But one of them is a health reason. Sumu tasihu, fast so that you may become healthy. Now, brothers and sisters, if we were to take a poll of people who fast and we were to ask them that, tell me, at the end of the month of Ramadan, are you healthier than you were at the beginning of the month of Ramadan? How many people would honestly say that, yes, indeed, I'm feeling healthier and my waistline is getting, you know, thinner, and, you know, overall I'm in a better state physically? I think a lot of people, if they were honest, they would say that actually things have kind of gone downhill. I'm suffering a lot and I feel kind of, you know, not so healthy. And I'm having problems when it comes to, I don't know, acidic issues and stomach and gut issues and whatnot. Now, what's going on here, right? Na'udhu billah, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, did he, you know, somehow, he's stating this rule, sumu tasihu, did he somehow, you know, not, is it inaccurate? No, where is the inaccuracy, brothers and sisters? The inaccuracy is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi is assuming that the person who's fasting already has a certain type of lifestyle in place, where fasting, when it's added to it, it would lend towards healthiness. It would be something that would be a source of cleansing for their body, of purifying their body. But if somebody has an unhealthy lifestyle, unhealthy dietary practices to begin with, then what's going to happen? The fasting is going to make things even worse. Now, I'm not talking about people who are exempt from fasting. There's people who, you know, the Prophet talked about those people as well, that when they fast, you know, their body gets damaged. It causes harm to them. They're sick. Those people are exempt from fasting. I'm talking about people who, for whom fasting is an obligation. Sumu tasihu. I recently was forwarded this very well put together, informational document, about 90 pages, about fasting and health. It's by this organization in the UK, something to do with Fitra Health or something to that extent. Very well done. And in that document, it's the most comprehensive one I've seen. They say that scientifically there are 8 benefits for fasting, health benefits for fasting. Number one, this is interesting. You know, it's interesting for me, inshallah, it'll be interesting for you. It enhances the brain health. Number two, it supercharges our energy. Supercharges our energy. Subhanallah. Number three, weight loss. Number four, improved blood sugar control. Okay, number five, it's very interesting. I'll leave that. Number five, I'll come back to it. Number five, improves heart health. Number six, improves gut health. Number seven, it fights inflammation. And number eight, which was number five before, it's something called self-autophagy. Autophagy literally means when something eats itself. So when you fast, your body eats itself. And what does that mean? What they've discovered, this is a fairly recent discovery. I think it was done initially by a Japanese scientist, if I'm not mistaken, that when your body fasts, the cells look at those parts of themselves that are damaged, are in need of repair, and it kind of recycles them. It gets rid of them and rebuilds them. And so when that process happens, it only happens when somebody does it, the body is not worrying about processing food. And they've linked this self-autophagy with decreased cancer and decreased Alzheimer's disease. That's until now, that's what they discovered. Now, what they're going to discover in the future, who knows? So just based on, you know, scientific, until now, this is what they've discovered. But how many people are enjoying these type of benefits? Maybe not everyone. Maybe a lot of people are like, they're all these things, you know, supercharging energy is the opposite, right? Weight loss, it's the opposite. Less blood sugar, it's the opposite. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, at the very least, it means what? That we should at least try to go and see, well, what is it that we're doing wrong? For example, you know, this is the opportunity to look and see, well, there are well-known, you know, techniques that they say are very important for maintaining a healthy dietary lifestyle. You know, reducing one's simple and refined carbs, you know, reducing one's salty food, reducing one's caffeinated drinks, reducing high sugar foods, reducing sunflower, corn oil, sunflower oil, fried food. These are things which are, you know, we hear about a lot of the time, but maybe now this is the time for us to say, well, I need to put this into practice so that fasting for me actually has benefits, right? This is what the Prophet wanted for me. He wanted, like, when you have that physical health, then you find that spiritual energy as well to be able to be the spiritual warrior. So my point is that we have these, you know, these guidance from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam about not just what we need to do our ibadah, but how we should live.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib.
ليتك دوماً